So hello everyone, I'm Rohan and I welcome you all to the podcast. So today we have with us four of our speakers. So I'll just briefly introduce all of you to them. First of all, we have Gaurav here. Hi Gaurav.
Hello. Hello.
We have Lochan.
Hey.
We have Fahad.
Hello.
And as a special guest, we have Tarun.
Hi.
Yeah. So today we'll be discussing one of the big three of Shonen, that is Naruto. So we'll be going through some of the interesting things that we find about the anime, which like may include some clever moments which they pulled off, or maybe even some possible flaws that we find. So note that all of this is subjective, so like don't flame us for any opinions that we share here. And watch out for spoilers, of course.
We decided to take the format of like speaking of some of the like good things that we liked and some of the things that we wished was better in the series. So I think we'll start off with like what we all liked. And so I think the number one thing that got me interested in Naruto was how the fights were really, really smart. And yeah, after watching like something like Dragon Ball Z or Pokemon growing up, like, it's flashy, it's cool, it's fun. But in the end, it's just like when the plot needs somebody to be stronger, they are stronger and things just work out. But in Naruto, it was like, okay, these are Jonin, these are Genin. But even the Genin can make a difference if they like do something in a like proper way. And I think it's like very well portrayed in the fight, like which happens like seven or eight episodes into the start of the series, which was Team 7's fight against Zabuza. And Naruto and Sasuke, Kakashi gets trapped by Zabuza, and like Naruto and Sasuke have to like fight this god level Jonin character, and they have no idea how they can beat him, and then they figure out that the only thing they can do is free Kakashi. And then they use their brains and they actually like manage to achieve like some sort of victory against a higher character. And I think that's true of a lot of the fights in part one. In Shippuden, it becomes a bit dependent on how strong the character is, and like it's just like jutsus and power levels, and yeah, it's still fun, but it's not as strategic and like intelligent fighting as part one. So I think like the fights in general in Naruto are like definitely really, really well done, and that's one of the main reason I think why the show is so popular.
Yeah, indeed. Like I mean, fights like what got me into the anime was because like I started watching it on Animax, so they had this very like build up for the Sasuke versus Itachi fight. So they were like constantly showing us like some scenes from Naruto between shows, like as advertisements. And then they said, oh, watch on Sunday, we'll have this fight, so stay tuned and all that. So fights are always like one of the hypes of every show.
Naruto had the best fights.
Yeah, I mean, like they really did like do a lot of efforts on the fights. Although I did feel like at some point that as Tarun said, like in Shippuden, they kind of like didn't maintain what they were doing in like the initial, like the part one. Like for example, this Sasuke versus Danzo fight, do you remember like when Danzo tried, like Danzo was being a bit stupid there, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Susanoo with a kunai.
Yeah, I mean, that's like...
Yeah, yeah. Like at that point, they seem to have like kind of forgotten the formula which made the fights fun and engaging, and it was just like, oh, he randomly has an arm full of Sharingan, so he resurrect himself 100 times. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think like some of the best fights need not have been some of the smartest fights, but I think like even though this was like one of the earliest big fights, the Zabuza versus Team 7 fight was like, it wowed me to the next level. Like I think I fell in love with the series from that point. Then of course like there is the this whole build up of how Gaara is this like monstrous Genin, and then in that fight against Lee, when he drops the weights.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like, they really did the fights well, apart from, like, a few, like, bad ones. I think, overall, like, Naruto really has a good way they build up fights and the way they execute.
Naruto versus Kiba was, like, kind of strange to me. Like, I was so sure that Kiba was going to win. He was super strong and all. And then there's Naruto farts and he wins. That was, like, it was too much for me to handle at that.
I mean, that's, like, one of the elements of Naruto itself. Like, Naruto, when he was a kid, he used to do the weirdest shit and then he ended up winning.
I
think, like, that's one of the, like, problems I had with Naruto in the start was that the main character was a bit weird and I think that is true of most shonen, that like the main character is like like very straightforward, if not like outright dumb. So yeah, but I mean, what made it up for me was the fact that like all these other characters were there who I was like, yeah, I totally get this guy, man. Like, this guy's so cool. Like, for me, it was like Kakashi and Shikamaru. So yeah, those guys were just like, wow. Yeah,
and Naruto fights also had their fair share of drama in the middle. Like, there was this brother-sister fight between Neji and Hinata. And then, and then we see how, like, even though she's his sister, he still fights just because of some backstory that I'm not going to mention. But there is a reason for everything that happens in Naruto as such.
Yeah, but, like, as I was saying, like, the side characters in Naruto are, like, very, like, real and, like, well-developed. And I think that's another, like, huge positive in the show. It's, like, a lot of shows and movies and books, etc. Like, they focus way too much on the main character. And then it becomes a bit, like, it just, like, loses effectiveness because in the end, the world is a big place. There are lots of moving parts, right? But if you just have, like, this one guy who's doing everything, then it kind of, like, takes out the... It like, loses meaning.
Basically, you're saying that, like, Naruto has several elements that, like, that are well-written and everything comes up, right?
So, yeah, like, who were you, like, maybe, like, who are the characters that, like, you guys enjoyed the most? Maybe Gaurav can take this one.
I really like Kakashi, like, and Shikamaru. from the start, Kakashi was, like, he's the ideal. He has, very dark past. Like, no one knows from the beginning what was his past. But he uses the most effective ways to teach Naruto and the Team 7. And Shikamaru was, like, the brains. Like, the Chunin exams where the Shikamaru and Temari fight was like, it was like mind-blowing. Like, he uses his mind to a next level.
Yeah, he keeps saying troublesome, and then he ends up beating him.
Menduk.
Yeah, that was...
Okay, like, disclaimer here. I'm, from the stuff he's been saying, I'm pretty sure Lochan has watched, like, dubs throughout.
Lochan, why Lochan? Deb. Why is he here?
I watched Deb it in Japanese.
Oh, then why are you saying the troublesome? Like, everyone would know it.
It's Mendoza.
Yeah, like, any other, like, favorite characters besides for, like, Shikamaru and Kakashi?
Speaking about Kakashi, there's this one really, like, super cute moment in Naruto in the beginning itself. Like, when, like, we realize that no one actually likes Naruto and no one cares about him much. So he's always eating ramen, like 24/7, ramen. And then there's this one scene where Kakashi shows up at his window and he's just sitting there, and Naruto's like, why are you here already? And Kakashi's like, you should start eating your vegetables. And that, like, that one moment, like it's very cute, given that Kakashi is basically a very serious character, like, has a very serious background, history and stuff.
Kakashi can be wholesome sometimes, huh?
Yeah.
It's just stories that he's always reading.
Yeah, I think what makes it like what makes Kakashi such a good character is that he's like well rounded. He seems like a real person, right? He's not like even Naruto seems less real. When Naruto's all like, "Oh, I want to become Hokage," and that's literally his entire personality. So yeah, Kakashi is like a very complex guy. He has like faced a lot of loss in his life. Then he has had this thing of like always being like above his classmates, and like he's like this solo genius kind of guy, but he also like has this like grudging friendship with a guy who's technically like the opposite of him, and he still like has this like caring sort of attitude towards his team. And so yeah, I think like he's a very well-rounded character. Kishimoto has managed to develop a few of them.
Yeah, so like he has like so many characters in there have multiple layers of personality. It's not like just one like just one element of like I want to kill everyone, or like I want to like do this, do that, all that. Like they have multiple sides to
that. And everything they do has like a specific reason behind it. Nothing's random.
Yeah,
but actually, like I think where Kishimoto really like failed in the character development is his handling of like female characters, because yeah, like the female characters in general are very one-dimensional, and but that's not to mention like how they are mostly like kind of weak.
They're weak to their, like, I guess their partners, and like Hinata is so weak in front of Naruto, and Sakura, she's like a really completely different person with others, and in front of Sasuke, she's just one timid person.
Yeah, so I think like he has this, like one formula which he just like tweaks for every girl, and apart from like few characters like Tsunade or Konan, like there isn't anyone who is like as strong as the main male characters.
Ah, but then the endgame villain is Kaguya, so.
Yeah. I mean, she's not really a human, so I mean,
she's still a woman.
Yeah, but like, she's basically just a monster.
She got surprised by the reverse sexy jutsu.
Reverse harem.
Yeah, true.
Starting, we had some characters like Anko and Kurenai, which Anko was shown promising at the start, like during the Chunin exams. She was shown scary, or like she has like a scary type aura to her, but after the exam she was sided and only to be seen in the war where she was used to revive Orochimaru. And Kurenai also, like she was sensei but with like no real scenes in Naruto. She was shown in the Itachi fights but in the starting, but with also no use. And then
she tries to use Genjutsu Itachi.
Like, and then she was like, then she was shown to be pregnant and had to rely on Shikamaru for like protecting her and her son.
Yeah,
her daughter.
Oh, sorry, daughter.
If you remember in starting of the Naruto, I don't know if this is also the filler or not. I don't, because I was. Each and every episode of Naruto. So like, remember Kakashi, he goes and meets with this girl, woman, and they don't show build up on his character. Was that a filler or not filler? And how Naruto and Sasuke and Sakura, they all just, you know, spy on Kakashi, like, oh, he's
reaching. That was filler.
Yeah, that was filler.
Okay. Cool. Like Naruto, I watched each and every, I didn't know what filler was that time. I was new to anime. But in Shippuden, I was like, oh my god, there's so many stupid episodes that don't even relate to the story. Then I was like, oh, okay, these are fillers. Then I skipped all the fillers in Shippuden. But in Naruto, I watched each and every episode.
Huh? Same. I did not know that there was like a thing. Yeah. Like, the concept of fillers wasn't there in mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I actually get bored, I used to actually like watch it on like 2x speed. And then like looking back, all the episodes that I watched on 2x speed were filler. So I mean, it became really like easy to tell that this episode has like all bullshit. So you should just like fast forward to make
like,
sure there was nothing.
Like how the main story is going on, right? Okay, Pain and Naruto are going to fight. The next episode, it'll be decided, you know, how you know Naruto and Pain, how it ends up. But then other than that, it reminds Naruto of his old memories. It's like that, something like that. In the main, he's in the main fight. It reminds us old memories. He was eating cup noodles or something. I don't know. And you get to know the filler and all. And there's so many fillers in Naruto. I guess like 40% or 30% of his fillers in Naruto or more.
They have a whole filler arc of like the Three Tails and stuff like that. And it took me really long to realize that was not canon.
I didn't even know that was filler until now.
Even the movies were kind of... weren't the movies also fillers for Naruto?
Yeah, I think apart from Naruto The Last...
Naruto The Last...
I think the others are considered filler.
Yeah.
I think like... But this is like a common problem with most shonens. Like, they need to put in fillers. Like, I mean, we are talking about filler episodes here. There are filler seasons in some shonen. So this is still like not that
bad. Yeah, I think Gaurav wanted to talk about like the music in Naruto.
The music, like I was so engaged, like I always listened to all the OPs like, in every episode. It was so good.
Yeah, like so skipping the OPs in Naruto is like, I mean, it's considered a crime. Almost, so. Especially the good ones. Especially
Silhouette,
the good
Silhouette,
ones.
Man. Silhouette. I love Silhouette.
Yeah, like it was Naruto was my first anime, so that was my first introduction into the world of anime. And like every time I listen to those OPs, it's like I get lost in the world of nostalgia. it's so good.
Isn't there one like song from the soundtrack called Regrets or something like that? I don't know if it's an OP, but like it's the song that plays when a sad thing is going on.
Ha! Exactly. Right.
Yeah. If you play that, like, I start feeling sad.
Like that when Jiraiya dies, like that sign OP. That's so sad.
I feel like the OP, the music was good, but even the animation, like how they throw little hints what will happen in the future of the anime. In the OP, that's so good, and even the animation is so good in the OPs.
And I mean, like the OPs in Naruto were what? That was the first time I actually listened to music that wasn't English. So that was like the start. That's how I started listening to music from other languages. So, I mean, they were good enough for doing all that too.
Yeah, I mean, the job of an opening is like to it has to be catchy, so that people who are like just flipping over the TV channels or something, just like stumble upon it and say, oh, this sounds nice. So, I mean, like they did that perfectly well with good visuals and like catchy music.
One of the other things that people tend to like about Naruto is like how jutsu can be so varied and like you have all these different styles and of course,
versatility.
Yeah, and of course, like one of the most, like the most interesting things in Naruto is this thing of like the Kekkei Genkai. So I think like a lot of people found that really cool. Of course, like there's the crown jewel of all Kekkei Genkai, which is your Sharingan, which basically is like, okay, you get to be the strongest character now.
And I mean like the levels of it is also very cool. Like we don't just have one specific Kekkei Genkai related to the eye. We have like three different great dojutsu. We have the Rinnegan, the Sharingan, and the Byakugan. And then each one has its own backstory and origin and how to get it and
actually, I think he sort of like has treated the Byakugan a bit badly.
Byakugan is getting built up in Boruto, right? I mean, that whole lineage wasn't continued. Byakugan lineage.
Like in the start, the Sharingan was really cool. It allowed you to like see your perceive your enemies' movements and copy them and stuff like that. And then later on, it just became like, Susanoo, you can teleport with the Kamui. You can like burn shit with Amaterasu.
Amaterasu, man. Oh,
Amaterasu is one of my favorite jutsu ever. So yeah. Not gonna like badmouth that, but yeah, I mean, in the end, he sort of like just went crazy.
I really liked how Kishimoto like actually added a limit to Mangekyo Sharingan, like to get even more power, you need to kill your own brother and or a really close one, and like I really liked that he added a limit to it. Or else, anyone with a Mangekyo Sharingan is like a what a fucking god. seriously. Imagine Kakushi with Kakashi with unlimited Kamui.
Yeah, like honestly, like this is a problem that I have in general, and I complain about it a lot. It's like the Sharingan is too powerful, but he did really balance it well with the whole losing of the eyesight and the conditions for the Eternal Mangekyo, and the conditions for like unlocking the Sharingan in the first place.
And like so, if you use it, and like using it too much leads to blindness and all that stuff.
But
and then we also have like the Genjutsu aspect to the whole Sharingan thing. Like how like there were so many different genjutsu related to Sharingan, and then we have like Shisui's genjutsu, the like one of the best. Like
I actually think if he had gone like more into how the Sharingan can affect the mind, that would have been better. But like the whole thing of like physically impossible feats that the Sharingan allows you to accomplish was like, remember in the I think it was in the starting of the Chunin exams where Rock Lee and Sasuke have a fight, and later on, like Sasuke, he can perceive what Rock Lee's doing, but his body isn't fast enough to actually beat him. So like that was cool. Like if as long as like the Sharingan was in the realm of like mental and like perception and stuff like that, it was, you can get it like powerful. You can make like stuff like the Kota Matsukami. You can make Tsukuyomi. Yeah. When you start making stuff like Kamui, then it's just like it shouldn't be in the Sharingan.
Every Sharingan can't do everything. Like specific person Sharingan.
Yeah, I mean that was decent. But my point is that like the whole thing of like the base Sharingan, like all the higher abilities should have been related to like perception or like Genjutsu or mind. It definitely became broken, but I'm saying it became a little like randomly broken. Like, how does accessing the Kamui dimension link to like ocular jutsu? That makes no sense if you look at it from the outside. So
we should let Shaman look into that matter.
I think he sort of like made the Sharingan like, oh, this is a cool ability I thought of, and I'll just like make it a Sharingan ability. So I felt like
Kishimoto, like, you know, is like, oh, Naruto has the QB. He can like turn into a beast mode. Like, I need Sasuke to have like an ultra version, exactly.
Between them, I guess.
That's how we like started the Susanoo and all. Like how Madara versus Hashirama. Hashirama didn't have any tail beast, but he had like the Buddhist 1,000 palms. Yeah, Buddha release. And then Madara had the Susanoo, and even Indira had the Susanoo, and then Asura had the tail beast. He had the 6 parts.
So yeah, the Sharingan just became like an easy way to give people power ups. That sort of like cheapened the experience for me a bit.
And also speaking about the Kikei Genkai, we also have like the elemental jutsu that only specific clans can use, like. We have the crystal release and other stuff that only specific bloodlines can use.
I think crystal release is part of the filler.
Like ice.
The bone thing. The Kimimaro's bone thing.
Bone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even little Joro. I forgot the name. Jiro or Joro. That guy with the curse mark.
Jugo.
Jugo and like his clans had all curse marks. So that was also Kekkei Genkai, right?
Yeah, I think it was some sort of, like, whether it's an actual Kekkei Genkai, I don't know, but it was definitely like a...
It was limited to that clan.
Yeah, it was definitely. So I think in the bloodline limit definition of Kekkei Genkai it is.
Huh. And speaking about like the clan limitations for jutsu, we have like several things, like how specific things that each clan was good at. Like the Uzumaki clan was good at the sealing jutsus. And then we have the Yamanaka clan, which is good at all the mind-related stuff. And then the Nara clan, which is related to shadow stuff.
Yeah. One thing I think he sort of like lost the opportunity to do over there is like in the in Konoha, you had all, it was supposed to be like the land of fire, right? So yeah, I mean, you had every type of jutsu going on. I mean, obviously it's the main character's village. These characters are going to be fleshed out more. But if you see, like, even during the war, like, all the strong ninja from the other villages had powers very specific to their villages. So
The lightning stuff and stuff. But
yeah,
then,
I mean,
the land of fire,
it sort of made it seem that like he just thought of it too. Later on.
I felt like other than Gaara, there would be more better, you know, Genins from other lands as well. You know, like how they only hyped up Gaara, he's from the land of the wind. They could be
because they had to bring in the whole concept of the Jinchuriki. Like that was the second Jinchuriki we ever found.
That's true, but,
no, but like Fahad, what Fahad's saying is the same as what I'm saying. Is like he like developed the Leaf's power a little too much, and later on when he introduced all the other villages, like it doesn't make sense that they are on equal strength with the Leaf.
On equal footing, right? I mean, like it's clearly said like after the third great war, like after the fourth Hokage came into the picture, the land of fire was the village hidden in the leaves. Konohagakure was like the strongest of all.
Yeah, it was definitely the strongest, but like,
but also at the same
it is implied that like the cloud village was very like almost on par, because like speed and like lightning cloak could sort of help a cloud.
During the war, when we see all these characters from the lightning village and other villages, the strong people, we ask ourselves, where were these people in Naruto? Where were these people in before Shippuden? Before
exactly. War, where were these people? All the other characters just seem to be added later on.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, during that time, there was no peace. I mean, like, if you see the other people, you will start fighting. You're not like
No, that's not the point. We're just saying that like this well-developed thing we were talking about, like how all characters are well-developed. Like characters from the other villages haven't been well-developed. The other villages as like concepts haven't been well-developed.
Okay. The Kirigakure village was pretty well-developed, I feel. Like we have the whole story of why it's called the Bloody Mist, and Zabuza was being from there, and like the Seven Swordsmen and everything put together.
Yeah, true that.
They could have done more about the seven swordsmen for the mist. Like they could have like added more story. Like seven swordsmen is like still like a doubt. Like who are they? Like what are the backstories and all? They were never introduced that much in the storyline of Naruto.
We never see all seven swords until the end, basically.
Yeah, and like when they were like brought by I forgot. Like reincarnated. Yeah, Kabuto.
The Akatsuki members' backstories were also not covered well, like Kisame and Deidara was covered, but Kisame was not covered very well in the like what stories, why he abandoned his village, like this can be covered. Also like Hidan and other.
The Kisame arc was covered. I mean like we know why he left the village.
No, I think what he's saying is like it would have been better if like major characters like the Akatsuki had a little more development.
Okay.
Because like I think this is something that Naruto faces like a problem in general, is that it shows a bit of stuff from the enemy's point of view like occasionally, but it doesn't do that like a lot. And yeah, that it makes like the effect of the enemy and like further character, like faraway characters, it makes the effect a little less, because they're just like names and then they just come on screen and they do stuff and they're not like people, right?
Yeah.
So enemies also should have had like a little more screen time.
Yeah, like for example, even for Kakuzo, like they said that he was one of the few people, if not the only, who fought the first Hokage and survived.
Yeah. So how? Maybe, why? Yeah. When did that happen? Like.
Yeah.
Like Akatsuki was kept too much in the shadows. Like their stories never were revealed.
Yeah.
How about we do have some very well written characters from there. We have Tobi, who was very well written, and then we have Pain and Nagato.
Gaurav is saying is like it's not that the characters are like bad and they're not interesting. It's just that we don't know what they are like. Like they are just people. Like they're just bad guys. They're not like proper people who have like motives and like lives and stuff like that, right? So I think maybe we should like, how are we doing for time? Already finished half an hour, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so since we are out of time, let's stop this discussion for now. Let's end like this first part of the podcast here and continue where we left off in the second part. So Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Stay tuned for the next part.